Good evening and welcome to the KRFP Evening Report for Wednesday, May 11th, 2016. I'm Lee Robartis in the news tonight. Moscow Saturday Farmers Market to apply for U.S. Department of Agriculture capacity building grant. Drugs lost in the U.S. mail may lead to dismissed felony charges against Lapway man. And Montana wants to increase the number of Yellowstone wolves that can be killed each year in the Gardner Basin. We'll have details on those stories and more coming up on the KRFP Evening Report. And live in the KRFP studios in Moscow, Idaho, I'm Lee Robartis, and this is the KRFP Evening Report. A Nez Perce County public defender has filed a motion to dismiss felony charges against his client after a package containing the drugs in the case was lost in the U.S. mail when it was being sent to a drug testing lab in Coeur d'Alene. Public defender Richard Cudahy said he just learned about the missing package, even though the package went missing in November, shortly after Nez Perce County Sheriff's deputies arrested his client, 35-year-old Jason Halford of Lapway. Deputies searched Halford's home on Lapway Road in November, looking for a stolen Remington rifle Halford allegedly received in a swap for drugs. Police say in court records they got another search warrant when they found drugs in the home and then discovered what they thought was 2 ounces of methamphetamine plus psilocybin mushrooms and cannabis. Police put the alleged drugs in a package and sent it via U.S. Postal Service to the state crime lab in Coeur d'Alene, but the package never arrived. The Postal Service reported the package had arrived at the Coeur d'Alene post office and was issued to a carrier, but an investigation into the lost package did not reveal any information about what happened to the drugs. Cudahy said Halford would not have waived a preliminary hearing if he had known the evidence was lost. Courts require prosecutors to disclose information in a case that might help a defendant, such as lost evidence. The Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks Department is proposing hunters be allowed to kill up to 6 wolves per year in the Gardner Basin just north of Yellowstone National Park. The current limit is 2. Agency officials say the increased take would stabilize the wolf population in the basin and prevent wolves from taking too many elk, which are prized by hunters. Scientists estimate the wolf population in the Gardner Basin to be 24. Fish, Wildlife, and Parks spokesperson Ron Ashine told the Associated Press cattle owners also want to reduce the wolf population in the area because they are concerned about wolf attacks. Wolf advocates say too many Yellowstone wolves are being killed outside the park. Last year, the number was 12 overall. Mark Cook of Wolves of the Rockies notes the Gardner Basin hunting zone is only 60 square miles. Cook said, "It's kind of ridiculous that they would consider bumping it up to 6, considering it's such a small amount of land. These Yellowstone wolves and these people who go to Yellowstone to watch wildlife, they need to be heard too." A University of Washington study published last month found Yellowstone National Park and Denali National Park visitors in Alaska are more likely to see wolves if hunting is not allowed in the land just outside park boundaries. Montana Wildlife Commissioner set a no-kill zone for wolves east and west of the town of Gardner in 2012, but a judge nullified the no-kill zones after ranchers and property rights advocates filed a lawsuit. The Moscow City Council's Administrative Committee Monday recommended the City Arts Department submit an application to the U.S. Department of Agriculture for a farmers market capacity building grant that would pay the farmers market manager's salary and possibly add city Wi-Fi downtown to help market vendors. City Grants Coordinator Elisa Stone told the committee the majority of the $220,000 grant would be used to make the farmers market manager position year-round.
We would like to propose to the USDA that we have them pay for the farmer's market salary for 3 years, and that would be at a full-time rate, which would be at $52,000 a year. So, and that's with the benefits and everything. That's a rate that was quoted by finance. For 3 years, that would be $156,000. And what that does for us also, it keeps the farmer's market manager able to work full-time year-round so that he can bring more vendors to the market and he can work with the vendors and help them do other outreach activities, training, those types of things. So it would be a full-time service and would be one of the best ways that we could expand the market with the different things coming up in the future.
Moscow Grants Coordinator Elisa Stone. Stone said if the city gets the money, it would not be obligated to continue funding the position after the 3 years are up. City Arts Director Kathleen Burns told the committee, currently a number of people in the arts department take responsibility for getting the farmers market up and running each year, but the USDA grant would consolidate that work.
It's a great opportunity because we're kind of distributing our work in the arts department between a variety of people to get the market up and running. And it really is, I mean, we're already working on 17 and we're in 16. So it is a year-round job, and it would be great to consolidate that to one person. Just getting the contracts for all the music and the performers and just doing all the manage my market and the registration and the fee collection and site visits to farms, and there's quite a bit of work.
That was Moscow Arts Department Director Kathleen Burns. The other part of the grant would pay for a Wi-Fi hotspot for the farmers market, which operates on Main Street between 3rd and 6th Streets each Saturday morning between May and October. Grants Coordinator Stone explained in this exchange with City Council Member Dan Karskalin and Burns.
We're wanting to try to help the farmers market vendors be able to produce and sell more food or contact more people in order to do that. So the two components that fell within those requirements that we felt we were able to apply for at this time were being able to provide some sort of internet or wireless hotspot downtown for the vendors so they could use a square so that they could do debit or credit cards or the benefit cards.
So right now, when we do debit or credit, they go to the a different site to do that, or do some vendors do a accept a card?
No, some vendors do accept a card, and some vendors do have the square. What happens is there's not enough accessibility downtown, and so by 9:30, 10 o'clock, nothing's happening.
So be it Wi-Fi or
yeah,
regular cellular signal.
Yeah, because it's not just the vendors taking debit and credit on a square card. It's the public
using all of it.
Using Wi-Fi, and there's not enough available
bandwidth.
So are you talking a separate band,
yes,
I guess, for them?
Yep. Yes, and we're still working on this. This is become a lot more complicated than we originally had anticipated. We're still getting quotes, but right now we're looking at it probably being at least about $13,000 a year But we need to, we don't have power downtown to the, mm-hmm. the light poles, and those types of things aren't wired. So, we're anticipating we'll get a bid on that later today or tomorrow. So the original setup cost in 1 year of service would be approximately, $20,000.
That was Moscow Grants Coordinator Elisa Stone speaking at Monday's City Council Administrative Committee meeting. You also heard from Moscow City Council member Dan Karskalin and City Arts Director Kathleen Burns in that clip. Stone said she's not sure if they will move forward with that portion of the grant because cost estimates for the Wi-Fi have come in relatively late and the grant application is due tomorrow. A record amount of Idaho snowpack melted in the month of April, reflecting a pattern around the Northwest where snowpack is melting earlier and more rapidly than expected this year, causing stream flows to peak earlier. Hydrologist Phil Morrissey said heat and dry weather are responsible. Most of Idaho's stream flow fell to an average of 70 to 90% of normal, while snowpack is between 55 and 85%, depending on the region. Runoff is also higher than usual this year due to the increased snowmelt. Federal Water Supply Specialist Scott Patti said precipitation is well below normal and there's not much expected in the coming months. Patti said normal rainfall during this period is only about 13% of the annual total. Many parts of Washington rely on the snowmelt to provide water in the summer months. There has been little snow in recent winters in Washington, leading to drought conditions. Patti said May 1st readings found Washington's snowpack averaged 87% its usual size, with the Tolt River Basin reporting the lowest readings of 44% of the 30-year median among those with remaining snow. Most river basins are reporting large decreases in their snowpack after reaching their peak around April 1st or 2 to 3 weeks early. Snowpacks in the mountains around Yakima and Wenatchee are down to 72% and 74% of average, respectively. Central Washington relies heavily on snowpack to provide irrigation for farmland and to reduce wildfires. Patti said the snowpack in the Spokane River Basin has mostly melted away. Nathan Reitz and Barry Johnson are the two Democratic candidates hoping to replace outgoing Republican Latah County Sheriff Wayne Rausch in the May 17th primary election next week. Reitz has worked as a patrol deputy for the sheriff's office for 7 years. He said while deputies have a strong presence throughout the county, he proposes to bring the sheriff and higher-level administrators into greater contact with the community through social media. Reitz said he hopes to crack down on drugs by bringing back a canine unit funded by grants and private donations and partner with agencies like the Quad Cities Drug Task Force and the Latah Recovery Center to prevent crime. Johnson says he agrees with the importance of partnership between the county's entities. He also said those centered in Moscow must do a better job of reaching outlying communities. Johnson said he wants the sheriff's office to use senior citizens as a resource and be more responsive to their needs. He said he hopes to invest in education, equipment, and training for deputies, including training in de-escalation. Idaho Health and Welfare Board Chair Daryl Kirby has apologized for calling someone a retard on social media. Kirby told the Idaho Statesman he used the slur in an argument on the Idaho Freedom Action Facebook page. Kirby has been serving on the Idaho Health and Welfare Board since 2007 and has been the chair of the 7-member body for about a year and a half. The board plays an important role in setting public health care standards across the state, including those set for the disabled. His term ends in 2019. Some Republicans competing for legislative seats in Idaho's primary next week are spending large amounts of money. Pocatello chiropractor Jason West has raised $43,000 so far in his challenge of Representative Kelly Packer of McCammon. The Idaho Freedom Foundation has targeted Packer after she criticized the right-wing group. Meanwhile, the Spokesman Review reports Megan Blanksma has raised $28,000 this year for her primary challenge against Republican Representative Pete Nielsen of Mountain Home. Blanksma has $1,000 donations each from the Idaho Potato Industry PAC, the Idaho Association of Realtors PAC, AgriPAC, Idaho AGC PAC, and the Idaho Sugar Beet Growers. Nielsen's other primary challenger is Justin Freeman of Marsing. Nielsen apologized during this year's legislative session for saying in a committee meeting and in an interview he believes rape and incest are not likely to cause pregnancy. He has been in the legislature for 7 2-year terms. Well, that's it for the KRFP Evening Report for tonight. Taking a look at the weather on the National Weather Service, it'll be mostly clear through Friday with a low of 46 tonight, high 75 tomorrow, low 48 Thursday night, and high of 79 on Friday. Partly cloudy, low 51 Friday night. A 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms after midnight Saturday, or rather in the afternoon Saturday. Partly sunny with a high of 73. And on Saturday night, a 60% chance of showers and thunderstorms, then showers likely after midnight, mostly cloudy, low 49. 60% chance of showers with thunderstorms possible in the afternoon on Sunday, otherwise partly sunny, high 59. Currently at the Pullman-Mosca Regional Airport, fair skies, 69 degrees. Thanks for tuning in to the KRFP Evening Report. Coming up next, our weekly news magazine, Between the Lines, followed by Flashpoints, the daily investigative news magazine from Pacifica Radio. That'll be followed by This Way Out at 7:30, the international gay and lesbian news magazine. Music begins at 8 o'clock with Land of Jazz with Alan Solon. And at 9:30, we'll have Grateful Dead Through the Decades with Arlene. And at 11 o'clock, music and other entertainment vibes with the show This Is Awkward, all in the KRFP studios. If you want to help KRFP keep newscasts like this on the air, plus the newscasts you hear during Morning Mix, the recordings of local events and the public affairs shows, plus the music and arts programming you hear every day on KRFP, be sure to become a member of KRFP. Memberships are $35 a year, $20 for students and low income. You can mail your memberships to KRFP, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. That's KRFP, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. Or you can go to the KRFP website to find out more ways to help KRFP. Remember, all editions of the KRFP Evening Report are made available and archived online for streaming and download shortly after broadcast. I'm Lee Robartis. Scott Jackson assisted with tonight's newscast. Have a pleasant evening. This is KRFP Moscow Pullman, community radio for the Palouse at 90.3 on your FM dial and online.